Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We've been talking preschool education on In the Moment for more than a month now, looking into funding, standards of excellence, and accessibility. You can find all that coverage on our website at listen.sdpb.org. Today, we talk with parents who have had to navigate preschool and early learning in the state in their own families. We begin with Dianis Conrad Popova. She is joining us from the SDPB studios in Vermilion. Dianis, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about, you moved to the Vermilion area from somewhere else. Tell me what kind of change you noticed in what was available in preschool in one place versus what's available here.
Well, I lived primarily on the East Coast for the past few years and moved here about 3 years ago with a two-year-old who was just about that age. And I did notice just a sort of variation of opinion. Not everybody saw preschool as important. Not every district had preschool. Some had free preschool. Some had preschool that had to be paid for. And there was just sort of a variety of conceptualizations of what preschool was and what where the value was within having a preschool program.
So did that surprise you from the places you'd been that people were really talking about not only, you know, how to pay for something, for example, but whether or not it had value at all?
Yes, I think the latter was sort of more where I struggled in terms of understanding that there was that gap in understanding why students or why kids need to have that support. You know, our systems are very different than they were before. 20 years ago, kindergarten was half day. And kids took naps. Now kindergarten is a full day school and the expectations are different. So not so much rushing our kids through development, but giving them the support they need to be successful once they do enter schools.
So here you are now with a family trying to figure out in this new environment. Where do you begin? You start looking for options for your child.
Yeah, as I'm actually an educator, so I'm a professor in the School of Education at USD. So I had at least a sense of where to ask, which I think some parents coming into the state might not. So I was able to sort of ask around and navigate. I looked around and a lot of information I just wasn't able to get. So I really even wasn't aware of a Head Start program until later on. You know, looking at the options, particularly in Vermilion, it's pretty much the public school system or St. Agnes Catholic School that have the systems outside of the Head Start program. We do have a private preschool program as well that's attached to the university, but the numbers are small. You know, preschool classes can't be 30, you know, 40 kids. They have to be small. So that really limits the options. I mean, I think I was on one wait list for over a year.
Really? And that the time's ticking when you have a preschooler and you're on a wait list for a year. It's not like being on a wait list for, you know, an apartment when you already have a nice apartment. So it's a little bit different.
It is. And I really felt that I was sort of failing him in giving him that opportunity. My son is an only child. So in terms of being able to help foster his social and emotional growth and readiness to interact with multiple kids, once he did get into school, I wanted to give him that opportunity. So my focus wasn't so much the academics, because I do believe, you know, in learning by play at 3, 4, 5 years old, we're not sort of heavily focused on academics. We're looking at, you know, social and emotional growth, soft skills, like teaching kids empathy and how to compromise and how to solve problems and how to build self-confidence and be independent, and sort of develop those skills in preparation for being just good humans and part of the school system. And I really struggled with navigating that. My first year finding out about the preschool options, I just didn't have the money to afford it. I was a second year faculty and it just wasn't in my budget to pay for preschool. And that sort of made me feel like I was failing my son in some way.
What did you hear from other parents?
The same level of frustration, praise, like the preschool programs that we do have always got high praise. My son ended up going to Austin Elementary preschool program. And both their teachers are exceptional. And I'm very glad that he was able to get a spot in there. But they only really can hold 24 students per class, half in the morning and half in the afternoon. And what about all the other kids who still deserve that same opportunity?
Do you think, and this is something that as we've talked really off the air about preschool in the state, and most of these are mothers that I have talked to, but some of the things that come up for mothers is sort of what you alluded to, feeling like you failed. But then, you know, they're not trying to be competitive, but they're feeling like their child is being left out of something, and it can kind of foster some animosity towards people who, you know, who can afford more than others, to people who make different decisions, to people who stay home with their children. It doesn't exactly, you know, sort of create a warm, fuzzy atmosphere among parents always either, especially in smaller communities.
Yes, when there's only a few slots and only a certain few get to have those slots, it can cause, I think, some increasing challenges. You know, again, the focus isn't really school readiness as much as it is sort of building good humans and having them have that groundwork. So yeah, that definitely was a challenge. Most parents I spoke to felt the same way, felt that sort of rush, not pushing their kids towards academics, but making sure they're prepared, because when they get to kindergarten, the rules change. You know, they're expected to be able to function in certain ways and to be able to have a basic understanding of certain things. And while kindergarten teachers are well trained to differentiate so that they can handle kids who can read and kids who can't read in the same classroom, you know, there are kids who are not given that opportunity. And while I see that not everyone feels that opportunity is necessary, there are a lot of kids out there who can benefit from that. And I feel that not only enhances our communities, but also enhances our school systems, K through 12, as students move forward into the system.
Deganis Popova, thank you so much for your insight today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.